You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is going on, L.A.? Thank you very much for tuning in. Another edition here of Lakers Talk. We got Stu Lance coming up at 7:30. Legendary Lakers color commentator. Since 1987, Stu Lance has been doing it. He's coming on Lakers Talk at 7:30. And then the 8 o'clock hour, Brian Windhorst, nice enough to join the show as well. Okay, we got two preseason games under our belt. We got two preseason games left to go. And then the regular season is going to start for the Los Angeles Lakers. How about Talen Horton-Tucker? Spent all post-game show yesterday talking about Talen Horton-Tucker. Did not think that I would be spending this much time talking about THT, but big compliments to what he's accomplished so far for the Los Angeles Lakers. And really, I want to take a few angles on this. We got a lot we're going to get into. You know, LeBron James, Anthony Davis could be playing for the final two preseason games. I want to talk about specific individuals, starters, closing lineup. We're going to do all that. But the Talen Horton-Tucker part of this branch that I don't think most Laker fans thought we'd be getting into over these first two preseason games, this isn't small talk. This isn't just, hey, here's a player that had a pretty good, decent game last night. Here's a player that had a pretty decent game the night before or two nights before that. They played on Friday. They played on Sunday. Talen Horton-Tucker's got some talent. He's got some legitimate talent. Now, is it very easy to kind of fall into this, you know, we get overhyped where the conversation becomes I don't know if it's unrealistic here. I don't know what Talen Horton-Tucker is going to end up being for the Lakers this upcoming season. I know that there's an incredible amount of talent on this Los Angeles Lakers team, but it's a fair question to start asking. How are the Lakers going to use Talen Horton-Tucker this upcoming season? I'll say this. When you're trying to win a championship, your priorities are different, right? So when the mindset is we got a shot at going back-to-back this upcoming year, you just got championship number 17 a couple months ago, and it's very, very realistic that the Lakers, 7-8 months from now, we'll see, you know, how the schedule pans out, can have another championship. They could have championship number 18 and be by themselves, no more tied with the Boston Celtics. They could be on the on their own little plateau on top of the mountain for most championships in NBA history. It's different when you have a roster and a team that's competing for a chip, how much experimenting that you're going to do in the regular season. If you're a team like Charlotte or you're the Sacramento Kings, you can grab a young kid who's 20 years old, give him plenty of minutes, and say, hey, go to work, learn by making mistakes. It's not exactly the same thing. It's not apples to apples if you look at, you know, obviously this team. This organization right now is not about developing players. That doesn't mean that there can't be development, but it's not about, that's not the priority. Priority is not developing players. You're either ready to contribute or you're not ready to contribute. And let me also say that the expectation that this is preseason, let's not forget that, and it's just two preseason games, so I also don't want to get too caught up in the hype. These games don't count. They don't go towards, you know, the standings, the individual stats. They're not that important. So we got to keep that in mind as well. But with all that being said, you cannot ignore that Talen Horton-Tucker can play, that the kid's got talent. He's got real NBA talent. Forget, by the way, that he's just 20 years old. It's been damn impressive seeing this kid over the last two games for the Los Angeles Lakers. So I want to throw out a question to Laker fans. And by the way, in tonight's show, as we are now just about a week away from the NBA season starting, I want to hear from Laker fans tonight. So I want to make sure that you guys are a part of the show. And the question I'm going to throw out there to Laker fans right now is, how should the Lakers use Talen Horton Tucker this season? Michael Thompson's throwing me off. Michael Thompson keeps calling, I don't know, Horton Tucker, Talen. So now I'm getting thrown off here a little bit. How should the Lakers use Talen Horton Tucker this season? How should they use him? By the way, you might be on the other side of this and say, you know what, we're overreacting. It's just two preseason games. 877-710-ESPN. Give me your thoughts on Talen Horton Tucker and how he could be a part of this roster, or if he should be a part of this roster this upcoming season. I know he's going to be on the roster, but what I'm referring to there is how much the Lakers will actually depend on him and use him. This is my take. My take is this. Very, very simple. He should be treated like every other player on this roster. You know, after LeBron James and Anthony Davis, I've gone on here the last couple of weeks. You guys have heard me talk about Montrezl Harrell and how big Dennis Schroeder is going to be, and Kuzma, another opportunity for him to obviously be a part of his development, Alex Caruso, KCP. I could go down the list of the depth that the Lakers have, and it's real, real depth. But when I say Talen Horton Tucker should be treated like every other role player on this roster, what I mean by that is, if you deserve the minutes, you should get the minutes. Who cares how many years somebody's been in the league? Who cares if somebody just came here in the offseason? If a player like Talen Horton Tucker, and this goes the same way, we were doing this last year. There were times where you wanted Alex Caruso in the game over some of these other vets or some of these other players that maybe a couple seasons ago you would have never thought, well, Alex Caruso's going to get playing time over that specific player, whatever the case is. I want Talen Horton Tucker just to get a fair shot. Does that make sense? I just want him to get a fair shot this upcoming year to be one of those role players for the Los Angeles Lakers. And it really doesn't matter who he'd be taking minutes from. 2 games in. Yes, I understand that. Just 2 games in so far. We can't overreact to 2 preseason games. But I'll tell you this about Talen Horton Tucker so far. The dude's fearless. He does not care who's guarding him. He has the ultimate amount of confidence. And I think there's certain players you could just see. Certain players just have a natural flow to the game. Their instincts take over. Typically doesn't happen at age 20, but their instincts take over. They're not thinking. You know, I've always made this comparison with Kyle Kuzma. There are a lot of times when I watch Kuzma play, I feel like he's thinking about what to do. And this isn't just Kuzma, a lot of basketball players. He's thinking what to do rather than just naturally reacting. Talen Horton Tucker is as smooth and as comfortable as any player that's out on the court. I mentioned that, you know, he's got the ultimate, utmost confidence in his own game, but everything just seems effortless, just seems absolutely effortless. It doesn't seem like, you know, he's out there and he's thinking about what to do, or he's worried about making a mistake, or whatever the case is. I don't need to get into all the stats and everything else, but that's my observation through the first couple of games. And don't forget the Houston Rockets. When the Lakers played the Rockets in the bubble, he had some opportunities, and I thought he took advantage of those opportunities. His skill set is one of those skill sets that you see, okay, this is a natural basketball player. This isn't just pure athleticism. No, he's a basketball player. He's got a mid-range game. He could get to the basket. He had 4 steals yesterday. I think 3 steals in the game before that against the Los Angeles Clippers. That's 7 steals in 2 games. So he's obviously doing things on defense. He had 10 rebounds last night. He had 9 rebounds the game before. Why do I point that out? Because it's not just high-volume shooting and getting to the basket, and that's it. There's nothing else that comes to the table. So I just look at this. I look at this specific, these 2 specific games, and I look at what I feel like his skill set is. This is all I want for Talen Horton Tucker. I just want him to have a fair shot this upcoming season. And I want that battle, because we could talk about this team being 11, 12, 13 players deep. And there's no joke there. Markieff Morris, you could say, is the 10th player. After that, you could say Talen Horton Tucker, then Quinn Cook, then Jared Dudley. That's 13 players on the roster. That's not common for your team to have that much depth. All I'm saying is, at the end of the day, I want him to get the same opportunity where if he's productive and his minutes, he's taking advantage of his minutes and he's an asset to this team in whatever way possible, whether it's offensively, defensively, whatever the case is, I just want him to get his fair shot. And if that means he's starting to have some success and he's taken minutes away from Caruso or Kuzma or Wesley Matthews or KCP, I'm just naming off other role players, then it is what it is. I want to play something from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. So Coach talked about this yesterday, how his job is going to become much more difficult because of how deep the team is. Take a listen to this. This is head coach Frank Vogel postgame.
Yeah, it's gonna make my job difficult for sure, because we have a very deep team, you know, and you know, no minutes are guaranteed. So, you know, he's gonna keep playing at a high level. That should push everybody else to stay playing at a high level. And but like you said, it does give us that luxury of helping, you know, having him carry the load some for some of our guys that played deep into the championship run last year, had a short off season, and he should be able to carry some of that load.
All right, that's Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. You know, I'm sure every coach in the NBA wishes they were in the position Lakers head coach Frank Vogel is. The depth on this roster, ridiculous. That's before Talen Horton-Tucker started showing that, hey, you know what, I'm actually ready right now. I could be productive right now. And there's no guarantees that's going to happen when LeBron and Anthony Davis come back and everything else. Maybe his minutes do get reduced, and that's just the reality of the game. But when I say I want the guy to get a fair shot, and when you listen to Lakers head coach Frank Vogel saying, yep, this is going to be, I'm going to have some tough decisions, but I love the no minutes are guaranteed for any player on this team other than LeBron James and Anthony Davis, right? Like, other than those two players, no minutes are guaranteed for any of these players, and that's how it should be. I'll ask Laker fans, when we come back, I know we got some Laker fans that are on hold right now, 877-710-ESPN. How should the Lakers use Talen Horton-Tucker this season? And are we overreacting over just two preseason games, or do you think this guy's got some real talent that can be effective this season? I'm not talking about 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road. No, I'm talking about this season, because this is a championship caliber, obviously, year for the Lakers, a chance to go back-to-back. 877-710-ESPN. As always, appreciate you guys being a part of the show. Lakers talk on 710-ESPN. All right, Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air. First of all, let me just say thank you for their partnership on this station for a number of years. Thank you for their partnership to Lakers talk. They've been one of the most consistent partners, locally owned right here in Southern California. Look, this type of business is not one of those businesses that you need all the time. Hopefully you don't need them often at all. But if you ever have a plumbing issue, or if right now your heater, just because the weather is obviously cooling down, the heater is not working well, Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air, just remember them. So anytime you have an issue, you got your plumber, you got somebody that can take care of your heater and AC, trust me that you can trust them. They've been a partner here and have taken care of 710 ESPN listeners for a long time. Times are tough, but getting your plumbing and AC service doesn't have to be. My friends over at Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air have made home services convenient, affordable, and safe. I speak from a personal perspective. Use Power Pro myself. Use them a couple different times. I'm not one to be anywhat of a handyman around the house, so why not go to the experts? For a limited time, Power Pro is having a service blowout for only $59. Whether it's an AC tune-up, a drain cleaning, or water flush, get it for only $59 each. Call and schedule yours today. Power Pro is my plumber. They want to be yours too. 800-584-4116 or visit powerproplumbing.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Stu Lance coming up at 7:30. man, Stu Lance, back in the days, growing up in San Diego, and Lakers used to have preseason games down in SD, I used to wait for Chick Hearn and Stu Lance. Game would end. First of all, my parents, back in the day, when I'm trying to convince them that, hey, can we stay like a half hour, 45 minutes after everybody leaves the sports arena, which is arguably the worst arena in all of sports. And as stupid as they looked at me like, you're crazy, they let me do it. Stu Lance, always one of the nicest guys. Of course, the great Chick Hearn, one of the best as well. But Stu's coming up at 7:30. Always appreciate his perspective. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. Asking Laker fans out there how they should use Talen Horton-Tucker this season. A lot of depth on this team, but the dude's got some talent, no question about it. Young, 20 years old, fearless, has a good offensive game, plays tough defense, has a natural instinct to the game. What more can you ask for from a 20-year-old? Let's go to Mario in Montebello. Mario, I appreciate you being a part of the show. What do you think, Mario? How do you think the Lakers use THT this upcoming season?
Hey, Alan, before I get started, man, I want to say that I appreciate your platform. And I don't know you, man, but your voice, I mean, you come up like a genuine, authentic dude. So, and thank you very much for being you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, real quick, on THT, man, yeah, he's been, like I said, real impressive. But I'm thinking long term in terms of playing time, in terms of his value. Right, we got three free agents, THT, Kuzma, and Caruso. So we're going to have to start thinking, like, if we're going to be able to pay them in the context of the salary cap. If we're not going to be able to do that, like, if these guys are going to be demanding too much money, then we got to start thinking long term, and maybe we can package something and get ourselves a third all-star. So, I mean, because like you said, we're a championship team. Our minutes are going to be valuable, right? They're going to be at a premium, so it's going to be very difficult to really utilize all these guys' talents in this team.
Mario, look, it's a good point. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for being part of the show. Let me say this real quick. Look, there's value to all three of those players. And value is interesting. It depends how you look at value. I'll tell you how the NBA looks at value. Let me use Danny Green as a perfect example. There were a lot of Laker fans, and it's fair. Danny Green got 2 years, $30 million with the Lakers. That's an expensive contract, but it's still incredibly reasonable. And what that contract gave to the Lakers, and imagine Danny Green, this is a veteran. This is somebody who was towards, you know, the end of his career. What that value gave the Lakers is it gave them an opportunity to trade that asset and that contract for a player like Dennis Schroeder, who was also making $15 million. A lot of people thought if Kuzma was going to not be a part of the Lakers, let's say the Lakers made some type of trade in the offseason, they thought that was the asset that would have to go with Danny Green's contract. It didn't. So the reason why I'm explaining it that way, yes, Caruso is an asset. Yes, Kyle Kuzma is an asset. And yes, Talen Horton-Tucker is an asset. But there's no real money attached to these guys. So you're going to have to attach another contract on top of that if you do something to a player like that. I'll say this. Yes, minutes are sparse and they're very the minutes are going to be very important this year because you got so many guys that have opportunity to influence the game one way or the other. You guys heard that promo, me talking about Montrezl Harrell. I was doing that in the postgame show, and I was saying this guy's a walking double-double. I didn't even talk about Montrezl Harrell. I barely talked about him so far in the preseason because a lot of my conversation has been going towards Talen Horton-Tucker and what he's doing. KCP played his first game with the Lakers yesterday since signing that 3-year, $40 million deal. He comes out yesterday, 16 points casually. He looks as confident and as calm, cool, and collective as any other Laker out there, and I'm sure he's going to be, at his age, 27 years old. He's also walking into his prime. Talent is everywhere you look on this Lakers roster. And the only point that I try to make about Talen Horton-Tucker, and I have no reason to think Coach is not going to give him a fair shot at being a part of this, being a part of the rotation. I have no reason for him not to think, I have no reason to not think that because this is the way head coach Frank Vogel was last year as well. If you're delivering, you're staying in the game. If you're not, you're probably sitting on the bench, and it's nothing personal. It's just kind of part of the team. All right, we got to figure this thing out together. Let me play the guys that I know are productive right now. So if Talen Horan-Tucker, when the season starts, gets some opportunities, and if he fails and falls flat on his face, that's okay. That means he got some opportunities. It's part of the learning process, but you know what? You're just not there yet. What would be disappointing is that we don't get to see those opportunities. Talen Horan-Tucker got very popular in these last few days in Los Angeles. Steve in L.A. Steve, thank you for calling, man. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, bud. You there, Steve? All right, Steve is not there. 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the show. You know, the one other thing that I'll kind of point at here as we get through the rest of this preseason, and only two games left. You got the Phoenix Suns coming up on Wednesday, and then the Phoenix Suns coming up on Friday. Get used to this, some of these back-to-backs against, you know, the same team or whatever the case is. But one of the things that I think is going to be the beauty of this preseason is you might find a gem like this that comes out of nowhere. I don't know about you guys, but I watched these first two games. Yes, incredibly excited about the Lakers. And then also watching the Clippers, I'm like, man, are Clippers not as good as I thought they're going to be? I mean, I don't want to gauge too much on preseason, but there's some value to these preseason games. There is. Some of that value is just simply letting players get back into a rhythm, getting their timing right, getting, you know, from a rotation perspective, finding out what players play well together again. A chance to see Wesley Matthews for the first time, or Dennis Schroeder, or Marc Gasol yesterday, who we saw had five assists. So there's a few players that it's been nice to see. It's been nice to watch. Talen Horan-Tucker, obviously one of those players. Tony in L.A. Tony, thank you for calling, bud. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, sir? Well, THT has been very impressive, and, you know, to be honest, I think we should give the kid a shot and, you know, just start him, you know, with the starting lineup and see how it goes. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? You know, the thing that turned me off about Schroeder was that, you know, he was demanding to be a starter from the get-go.
I think that bothered some Laker fans.
Yeah, you know, he needs to establish himself first, you know, with the team.
Tony,
we don't run that here in L.A.
Tony, I appreciate you calling in. All right, this is the best. The best is first Talen Horan-Tucker. We weren't talking about him a week ago. Now it's throw him in the starting lineup. What, are you crazy, coach? Put him in the starting lineup. I don't think he's going to be starting, and I'm not here to make an argument for that. And the Dennis Schroeder part of it, which I'll spend some time a little bit later in the show, we'll talk about who we think should be starting, if Dennis Schroeder should be starting. We'll do that. Trust me. We got some good topics now. I'm feeling good here. Season is back, and by the way, it's so fantastic. Get a chance to do the pregame show with Michael, obviously. Do the postgame show after. I mean, it's a good feeling when you get back into this routine of Lakers basketball, especially when the roster is what it is. Just get some cracks. Get some opportunities. Xander in Manhattan. Xander, I appreciate you calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, how you doing, man? Man, I saw the Lakers win the championship in Florida. I watched it on TV. Now, this year may be different with the new players. I saw a great player, Dennis Schroeder. I've heard a lot about him. I saw his stats. And the new kid you were talking about.
THT.
I think they should start with him and kind of, like, really get his career going. Dennis Schroeder, I looked at his stats. He looks very good, but I don't think Frank Vogel should start him. I think they should start the new kid and give him the benefit of the doubt to get connected with his career, boosted him up.
That's a tough one, Xander, that's a tough one. I appreciate you calling. It's tough because, you know, it's not about developing players right now. It's not. It's about what players can go deliver at the moment because you're trying to win a championship. If you're a franchise that is not competing for an NBA championship, you develop all you want. I'll give you a great example. A couple years ago, the Lakers, when they had Larry Nance Jr. and Brandon Ingram and D'Angelo Russell and go down the list, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, who am I missing out there? Jordan Clarkson. It's different when you got a roster full of youngsters and you're not trying to win a championship. This Lakers team is trying to win a championship. And because they are, you can only do so much. There's kind of a fine balance here. So what I'm trying to make the case of is give Talen Horan-Tucker opportunities this year, but I'm not sitting here trying to say, well, give him opportunities so he can develop, and it's jeopardizing what's more important, which is this long marathon for the Los Angeles Lakers as they try to go back-to-back. And now I got everybody that wants to go starting lineup. Starting lineup later. Starting lineup and closing lineup. We'll do that at 7:45. But coming up next, the great Stu Lance. Did you guys know this about Stu? He's been the color commentator for the Los Angeles Lakers since 1987. Chicken Stew. Those just went so well together for so many years. Now Stu Lance working with Billy Mack, Bill McDonald, another a great broadcaster with Spectrum Sportsnet. Stu Lance coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Appreciate you being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back to Lakers Talk. Always excited to have legendary Lakers commentator since 1987. He's been calling color for the Los Angeles Lakers. Stu Lance taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Stu, thank you for doing this. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing all right. We're two preseason games in, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about. And who would have known that the last couple of days has been about Talen Horton Tucker? Just your initial thoughts on what you've seen from him, and really how he's kind of churned a lot of Laker fans in seeing what a young 20-year-old can do.
Well, I mean, the first two games, he's been the talk of the town, obviously.
Yeah.
Been very, very impressive. Again, just playing not like a guy that hasn't had any real NBA experience. I mean, he's played in the G League, but he hasn't had any real NBA experience to speak of, and he's playing as if he's been around for a few years. He's been very calm, very collected, under control, and hopefully it'll continue.
Stu, how odd is that? Just the way you described, I think that's a perfect way to say it. Yes, he's got some G League experience, but really in the NBA, not that many minutes played. We saw him for a brief stint and actually did pretty well in the Orlando bubble when he came in the series against the Houston Rockets. With all your experience in the NBA and watching, obviously, these players, is it pretty unusual to see a kid come in and just look and feel that comfortable?
Yeah, it's very rare to have that happen. You know, in the bubble, he was playing, but he also was playing alongside guys by the name of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So it's not like you're expected to do a whole lot. But in the first two preseason games, he's been the lead guy. I mean, they've put the ball in his hands and let him be the leader in that respect. So that's been probably the most impressive thing for the youngster.
I know it's easy to overreact. I fall into that trap all the time, and I'm sure over two preseason games, yes, I'm sure there are a lot of Laker fans overreacting about Talen Horton Tucker. But, Stu, with that in mind, how do you think he can have a role this upcoming season? Because we know just the depth that the Lakers have. We'll talk a little bit about some of these new faces that the Lakers have. It's not six or seven guys that you're depending on. Lakers have, if you want to count Talen Horton Tucker, that's 11. Quinn Cook is 12. Jared Dudley could be 13. How do you think Talen Horton Tucker can play a role this upcoming season, if you think he can?
Well, I definitely think he can, and I think he's in the first two preseason games, he's told the coaching staff with his play that they're going to have to try to figure out a way to get him some minutes. You know, if it's at the expense of others, which it will be, so be it. But it makes your team that much deeper and that much fresher. That means that, you know, LeBron, for example, doesn't always have to have the ball in his hand to create plays for other people. So I think it's a welcome a problem to have if you're the coaching staff, and hopefully it'll be one that'll continue throughout the course of the season.
Stu Lance, legendary Lakers color commentator since 1987, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. We always appreciate his time. Stu, just playing off of that, it is a good problem to have. And Lakers head coach Frank Vogel yesterday after the game kind of referenced something similar, saying that, you know, this is going to be something that he has to figure out, especially if Taylor. By the way, even before Talen Horton-Tucker's had these two great preseason games and, like you mentioned, looking so comfortable, even before that, there was already such a deep roster. In a predicament like this, and I'll go back to, it's a good problem to have, how do you think coach balances how many players he uses, what his rotation is like? Michael Thompson always says, you know, back in his day, it was 7-8 guys that they were depending on in that Showtime era, primarily 7-8 guys. Is it something you think coach will look at? And if he could go 10, 11, 12 deep, then he'll just do it if he needs to.
Yeah, I think he'll just let the games play out. You know, one game would be one set of players. Maybe the next game would be another. I don't think he'll go 11, 12 deep, because it's really difficult to get any quality minutes when you're going 11 or 12 deep. But it's like we talked about. It's good for Frank and the staff to have the problem that when they want to substitute, they can get up, look down the bench, and have a multitude of players to put in, as opposed to looking down that bench and saying, oh, my goodness, I can't put anybody in. So he's in a good position as far as how much time he's going to give X number of players.
Yeah, it is interesting, Stu, and I know we just have two more preseason games left, and then December 22nd, Lakers and the Clippers to start the season. But what's interesting to me is when you start seeing LeBron and Anthony Davis alongside Marc Gasol or Dennis Schroeder or Montrezl Harrell, there's going to be so many different combinations, and I'm sure there's going to be times, and I love this, another thing Coach said yesterday, minutes are not guaranteed. So I think as the season progresses, the players that are playing the best, the guys that are paying attention to the small things, the defensive side of the ball, we saw last season all the role players that were doing what role players need to do to get playing time. I'm looking forward to see how some of that progresses. I do want to get your thoughts. We haven't seen LeBron James yet, and there's a good chance we may see him in Game 3 and Game 4 of the preseason. How do you think the Lakers balance using LeBron James this year, knowing that it was such a short offseason, and of course the journey this season is to try to go back-to-back?
Well, again, it's going to be, I think a lot of it's going to be on LeBron, how he feels, and if he's willing to have his minutes cut, maybe not play in every night or whatever the case may be, because, you know, I call him the eighth wonder of the world, because, I mean, this guy is playing at such a high level after being in the league for all of these years. You would think that his level of production, the level of play would drop off just a bit, but it hasn't. So it's just a remarkable scenery that he's put himself in, and it's going to be interesting to see if he's willing to cut back on a little bit of playing time. But once the ball is thrown up, LeBron, he wants to win. And he wants to do everything he can to help his team win.
Yeah, it's interesting if he's willing to. That's a good way to put it, because I remember last season before the year started, I just assumed, right? I assumed that LeBron would maybe take his foot off the gas a little bit. That wasn't the case. He played as many regular season games as anybody on this Lakers roster, was playing 30-plus minutes a night, it seemed like, on a night-in-night-out basis. So it will be interesting how LeBron kind of approaches this year. Stu, just playing off of that, because of the offseason the Lakers had and Rob Pelinka in the front office being able to, like we were just talking about, 10, 11, 12 guys deep, How much do you think that ends up helping a guy like LeBron, that he doesn't have to do everything? Because Dennis Schroeder can be a player that kind of gets the offense going. Of course, Anthony Davis is going to be AD. How much do you think will help LeBron to understand that this team is so talented and deep that it doesn't have to all be on his shoulders?
Well, again, after last season, with Rondo would come in and take all of that ball handling duty away from LeBron. And even though LeBron is still on the floor, when you don't have to bring the ball up to court, you can get a little bit of a rest just running up. Mm-hmm. But when you have to focus and concentrate on the pressure that they're applying, bringing the ball up to court, it takes it out of you for the third and fourth quarter. So it's going to pay dividends if he doesn't have to handle the ball as much with Schroeder. And, you know, now with Talen doing what he's doing, you know, you got Caruso who handled the ball some. There's a lot of players on this team that can really aid LeBron in his quest to play as many games as he wants.
the great Stu Lance taking some time to join Lakers Talk. You could listen to him. Him and Billy Mack, Bill McDonald, for every Lakers game on Spectrum Sportsnet. Stu, it's been just an interesting year for Anthony Davis. Comes off a trade from the Pelicans. Expectations are obviously going to be incredibly higher in Los Angeles, but also on his back. He accomplishes the ultimate goal. He wins an NBA championship, and then he signs a five-year extension with the Los Angeles Lakers. As he walks into his prime at age 27, what are you expecting from Anthony Davis as we approach this season? What are some areas of his game that you think he could even take it to another level? Just your overall thoughts on what you expect from Anthony Davis.
Well, it's going to be hard for AD to take his game to another level because he's already at such a point where, I mean, at night in and night out, the guy's just been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He can do so many different things on both ends of the floor. I think the biggest thing for Anthony is going to be health, those little nagging injuries that he has sustained over his career. If he can limit those, and again, with the depth of this team, maybe he doesn't have to play 38 minutes a night, 36 minutes a night, which enables him to get more and more rest. But as far as him taking his game to another level, that's going to be very difficult. If he does that, he's going to be in a stratosphere all by himself.
Stu, just looking at the Western Conference, you know, last season there was all the chatter about the Lakers and the Clippers, and both of those teams potentially facing each other in the Western Conference Finals. Obviously, it didn't happen. Are there some teams in the Western Conference that maybe we're not talking about so far this season that you think can be a part of that mix? How do you think the West shapes up after the Lakers? What teams should we be looking out for?
Well, I think you better look out for all of them because you're talking about the Warriors. They get Steph back. They're going to be a team to reckon with the way the game is played today. Denver really improved themselves over the offseason, I believe. They're going to be extremely tough. The Utah Jazz have proven that they can be a handful. Phoenix, with the acquisition of CP3, I think they're going to be an interesting team. So there's a lot of teams out there that you can't sleep on them. If you do, you're going to find out that they're on top of you.
Stu, final one. You've had now two games at Staples Center. No fans there. Talk about your experience. I know you're one that has always interacted with the fans and doing it for so long. What has it been like being at an arena like Staples Center and there's no fans there?
It's completely different. I don't even know how to explain the electricity, the aura of the game without fans is completely different. You know, they're running up and down the court. They're doing what they do. But it's the fans that make it so exciting in an arena. And without the Laker fans, it's really been difficult. But hopefully, if we keep our fingers crossed and things go well, we'll be able to get our fans back real soon.
Well, Stu, I know from a Laker fan perspective, we always appreciate your time and your insight. Thank you for doing this. Stay safe, and looking forward to seeing you at Staples Center soon.
Well, it'd be great to see you. Like I said, we won't be able to see each other where we can go up and say hello to each other because of this pandemic. Bill and I talked about it last night. We could conceivably go through this whole year and not say a word to the players because we're not allowed to be that close to them. So hopefully we can get everything under control.
All right, Stu. Stay safe, and thank you for doing this.
All right, my pleasure.
All right, that's the great Stu Lance right there. If you want Los Angeles Lakers information, you go to a guy like Stu Lance. When we come back, had a couple calls already hit on this, so let's bring this up. Do you want to see Dennis Schroeder in the starting lineup? Do you want Schroeder to be a part of that starting lineup for the Los Angeles Lakers? 877-710-ESPN. Get your thoughts when we come back. Plus, your closing five for the Los Angeles Lakers. What's the best five you can put out on this Los Angeles Lakers team to close out games? All we keep talking about is the depth that the Lakers have. Look how great it is, 1 through 12, 13. The best five to close out a game, and do you want to see Dennis Schroeder start this upcoming season? 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. Thank you very much for being a part of the show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Whether you're listening here on 710 ESPN or on the ESPN app or on iTunes, if you miss any part of the show, make sure Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. Go back, subscribe to the channel. Just had Stu Lance on. I got a quick Stu Lance story for everybody. Curtis, you know this. You know this because we've had Stu on a couple different times. If you tell Stu Lance, hey, Stu, can you come on at 7:30? You better be next to your phone between 7:28 and 7:30, because that man, he's got his I's dotted and his T's crossed. Stu Lance, I mean, the moment I knew I was getting Stu on, I started buttoning my polo. I'm like, all right, I got to tuck my shirt in here. Got Stu Lance coming in. Great stuff from Stu Lance, as always. So we're about 7-8 days away from the December 22nd is opening night for the Los Angeles Lakers, obviously against the Clippers. And the conversation that's going to come up between now and then, and this is so common, and it is what it is. It's not the end of the world, but this conversation comes up a lot. Who should start? Who should close games? We just have this infatuation with who should be starting the game, and this happens a lot, obviously, from a sports perspective. And I'm asking Laker fans out there if you think Dennis Schroeder should be one of those starters. We know when he initially came in a couple weeks ago, and he had his first presser with the Lakers on the Zoom call. He talked about it. He was honest, and I appreciate that honesty. He's saying, look, I was coming off the bench for the Oklahoma City Thunder for 2 years. I think I could do very, very well with the starters. He should have that type of confidence in himself. I think it's hit Laker fans a couple different ways. I think there's some Laker fans out there that say, well, you know what, you got to earn that spot. You just can't come in here and say that, you know, you're a starter. And then if you really kind of look at his skill set, it's very easy to say, nah, Schroeder should be starting. Averaged 18 points last year for the 18 points and 4 assists for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's going to be a real asset to the Lakers. I did this last week. I was talking about, out of all the offseason acquisitions, I think that one will be the most impactful. I'm most excited to see Dennis Schroeder. And as I say that, Montrezl Harrell is just going to keep grabbing double-doubles, and Wesley Matthews is going to be a great contributor, and Marc Gasol will be a fantastic center for the Lakers. But I'll say this about Dennis Schroeder, and I'll say this about Dennis Schroeder potentially starting. I don't want to see him start. That's my own personal preference. I don't want to see him start because I feel like it's more beneficial to the team if he came off the bench. Last season, Danny Green, KCP, Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and JaVale McGee all started the game. That doesn't mean those were the five best players on the Lakers team. It doesn't. It just means strategically, the coach was obviously using some of the assets that he had. He said, okay, if I start the game this way, LeBron's bringing the ball up before, he's got the ball in his hands a ton, and then I can have rotations. And if I give this guy a breather, then I know this guy can come off, and I'm going to have some type of impact coming off the bench. It's more strategy. The way you close games, the closing five is the one where you're most likely saying, these are the best five players that I have that complement each other in, you know, some shape, way, or form. So with all that being said, the reason why I say I'd like to see Dennis Schroeder come off the bench is because I think Schroeder coming off the bench with Montrezl Harrell and Kyle Kuzma and Alex Caruso and Markieff Morris and Talen Horton Tucker, I'm just going off the list of all those players that I'm assuming could potentially be off the bench, I think it's more effective for the Lakers. And I think there's going to be this fast pace that comes off the bench, kind of a more up-tempo style for the Lakers that, damn, that could be really dangerous. So you're telling me when LeBron James and Anthony Davis go get a breather, or one of those guys go get a breather, you can bring in that much more talent after? And I've said this before. I said that Wesley Matthews, KCP, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Marc Gasol, probably the closest thing that you would have to what you had last season when it was Danny Green and JaVale McGee to kind of having some type of resemblance of who you started last season. So my own personal perspective is I don't want to see Dennis Schroeder start. And trust me when I say this, it has nothing to do with his talent. Absolutely not. The guy's a baller, and he's going to be effective for the Lakers. And he's just 27 years old. And this is a contract year for him as well, so it's a very important year. And I think he genuinely compliments his strengths are what the Lakers had as a weakness, I thought, last season. Rondo was amazing in the playoffs, but that was always a conversation of, do you have another ball handler, a guy that can get people going? Can he get to the basket? Can he put some pressure on defenses? All those types of things, I think, falls in with what Dennis Schroeder is his strength. So with all that being said, in a roundabout way, I want to see Dennis Schroeder come off the bench. It has nothing to do with his skill set. I also want to see Dennis Schroeder closing games, which, as Michael Thompson has said plenty of times in the past year that I was doing the pregame shows with him, it's who ends the game that matters most. But I will get some of Laker fans' thoughts on this, because I got a couple calls in the first hour. They say, no, I don't want to see Dennis Schroeder start. I wasn't even a topic. I mean, you guys brought that up. It's not even a topic that I brought up. 877-710-ESPN. Let's start with JK in Westchester. JK, thank you for calling into the show, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much for the show. It's so important for us in California who love the Lakers to have a show like this. So thank you.
Of course, man.
You're doing an amazing job. That's number one. Number two, Schroeder, I want to keep him for the next 5 years. If he wants to start, I'm good with that. It doesn't matter who starts. It doesn't matter the bench, because the bench is going to be so ridiculously strong that, you know, he can still play with the second team. It really doesn't matter what you roll with this team. This team is so loaded. But here's who I end with. If it's a big center like Jokic or, you know, if it's one of these big centers, I end with Gasol. If it's not, then I end with Anthony, LeBron,
Montrez getting in there or no?
And wait a minute. I lost it there.
Is Montrez getting in?
He's not ending the game.
Okay.
Montrez is not ending the game. I was going to end the game with Caruso, Schroeder, and Tucker if he's hot.
Got it. JK, thank you for calling in, bud. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Let me say one thing about Talen Horton-Tucker. We went from talking about this guy for me just trying to get him some playing time to I've had three callers now. They're like, let's throw this guy in the game to start off with, or let's close games. Okay, so there's a caller right out the gate that says he thinks Dennis Schroeder should play. He wants him here for long term, and if Schroeder wants to start, then Schroeder should start. I don't think it should be, you know, one of the things that – pay attention to this upcoming season. It's the best roster in the NBA. It's the deepest roster in the NBA. There's going to need to be sacrifice, right? If you're going to win an NBA championship again this year, guys are going to have to sacrifice. We see it all the time in sports. The teams I think have most success is, yes, they're talented, but there's a chemistry that comes together. They play for one another. They're fighting for one another. That's a key element to success as well. So sacrifice is an important thing. And in order for the Lakers to go back-to-back this year, that's going to play a big part in how their, you know, some of their successes. Alan in Monterey Park. Alan, thank you for calling in. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, what's going on? I believe that he should start. At first, I wasn't with it, but then after I saw Talen Horton-Tucker play, I thought he should start, and here's why. I think that the Lakers last year got off to a slow start a lot of times in the beginning of games because they weren't making shots. And I think that if you have, you know, Schroeder in there in the starting lineup, that they'll make some shots and, you know, they'll get off to a way better start. And it doesn't hurt to try, you know, Talen Horton-Tucker as point guard starting off the bench. I think that would be a good place for him, give him more playing time. And then, like I said, that way they get more points starting off in the game.
Appreciate your take,
Alan. My take on it.
Thank you, man. Thanks for calling in. All right, we got two Laker fans that are they're going start Schroeder. By the way, it's Schroeder. Everyone's going to pronounce his name. I think I've heard 9 different pronunciations in the past week and a half. Schroeder. Listen to let me also kind of go off this. So I talked a little bit about from a starting perspective to close games for the Los Angeles Lakers, and I know we could kind of sit here and say, well, okay, it depends on what's the size another team has. We could sit here all day and do that, but I think to close games for me, the five that I'd be most comfortable with, Dennis Schroeder. We have not talked enough about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, KCP, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the fifth player is a little bit tough. This one's a little bit more difficult. But if I'm going to close out, I'm going to look for a player that I know has got incredible knowledge in the game. I know he's going to be an asset. I know he's been in the league long enough to where he's only going to help you. I'm going to go with Marc Gasol. So that's my closing five right there. Closing five. Dennis Schroeder, KCP, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Marc Gasol. By the way, you can easily make an argument and throw Montrezl Harrell in there. You're going to go quicker. You're going to go faster. AD goes to the five. Now I'm starting to sell myself on Montrezl Harrell. Thank you for all those calls that we just got. Thank you to Stu Lance in this first hour. Coming up next, top NBA stories. A lot of good NBA stories around the league. Hey, great news, guys. James Harden decided to go to work. All right, James. Way to get yourself in there. Way to get yourself in there. James Harden back at work. We'll get into our top NBA stories. And just a reminder, Brian Windhorst coming up at 8:30. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.